Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think that Bart should play over him right now. I think Delay should be here, too. I would rather have Grandal DFA'd and go with those two guys.
I know, but he's a guy that they signed, and I think they much... Don't you think... Now, they're not going to have the same body of work that Telez did a couple of years ago, but don't you think they're saying to themselves, really, how far away is Yasmani Grandal from the guy who hit 23 home runs for the White Sox in 2021?
Or they're saying, we don't care. We just want the handling of the pitching staff and the defense to be good. And if
you had a better offense, wouldn't that be a much more defensible position if you just buried him at ninth, but your offense was good 1-7 or even 1-6? It's not, though. You need every available hand on deck to try to help your offense, and they aren't applying that kind of mindset.
Well, they also showed us with the Austin Hedges signing last year that they don't prioritize offense from catcher, and by making Henry Davis go out and play right field and not letting him play his natural position because he wasn't good enough defensively.
It's wild.
They told us that defense comes first at that position.
It's wild that as bad as Grandal was offensively for the White Sox last year, like, he's taken a shovel and gone to a whole new level of bad this year. Like, you can just pull up his baseball reference page and you'll get mad because it's like 10 seasons of being an above average offensive catcher by any metric and a very good one at times.
Mm-hmm.
Guy good enough to get MVP votes in a couple of years in the top 20. And he has become an atrocity here.
Here is Charrington on how the Pirates make the playoffs.
Some of it is certainly continuing to do what we're already doing well and lean into that and do it even better. I do think whatever ways we can improve here the second half of the season, if we're in it at the end and pushing into the postseason, it is most likely because we're a really good run prevention team and we can win close, low-scoring games. That's probably how we're going to do it. Some of the things we have going on the pitching side give us a chance to be that team. We believe that we got to go do it. To increase our odds of doing that, we got to keep getting better in other ways. And understandably, I think there's focus and talk about offense, and of course that's what we're thinking about it too all the time.
We need to continue to do the things that we're doing well, says Ben. And this is an important thing, so I'm not going to say this to poo-poo it, but they're really only doing starting pitching well. If you're trying to keep going, if you want to have status quo for something, that's really the only thing you'd want to stay static in the second half of the season. Keep doing the things we're doing well. It's
one thing.
Only starting pitching. They're one of the top teams in quality starts, so pitchers are going deep into games, and they're not giving up a lot of runs. Everything else is mediocre or worse. They're not upper echelon at anything offensively, not even the small ball stuff like sacrifices and stolen bases and things like that.
But I think he's given away the game a little bit there when he says that, because I think he means it. Because know what? If you do the same things well, i.e. pitch from your starting rotation, and you get a couple of breaks here or there, just ball bounces differently, don't you figure you know, what are they? Are they at the exact halfway mark right now, numbers-wise?
No, they played two games more than that.
Okay, so they're 40-43 through 83 games. He probably figures if in the next 79 games they win, Pony, I'll say 42 of them, that gets them to 82 wins, that they will be right there in the last week of the season, maybe 43. You go 43-36, which I'm sure he would tell you with a couple of bounces here or there, we could have been that way. We're a team that had three or four games go against us. Here's a game, here's a game, here's a game. Forget about the few games where they did snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. I think that is how Ben Charrington feels about them making the playoffs. Do it that way.
Charrington on their offensive growing pains.
We are relying on young players, and we're always going to do that here in Pittsburgh. You know, that's really important. We embrace that. It's exciting. It's a part of what we're going to be as a team. We do have a number of guys who are still sort of inside their first full seasons as major league players. And, you know, you look at Triolo and Nick Gonzalez has come up and done a great job. And Henry Davis would have fit into this category when he was healthy on the team. You add up the league offensive environment with the fact that, you know, we got some young players who are still inside a full season of major league experience and still inside that transition period as young players, we know it's not going to be a straight line. It's not going to be sort of a perfect linear from, all right, this is what you did as a minor leaguer, this is going to happen right away as a major leaguer. It just doesn't, it's really never worked that way. It's particularly not working that way in today's game with the pitching and the defenses the way they are.
All right, so if he's saying it's never been harder for young hitters to thrive and succeed in Major League Baseball, and they didn't expect that, they don't think it's going to be linear, you go and you tear up AAA, you're going to tear up the major leagues. Mm-hmm. If the GM is saying that and he knew that and he's acknowledging that, then what the hell were their internal projections for this team? If he knew that they were going to have to rely on a lot of young hitters, and it's much easier for a young hitter to fail in Major League Baseball than it is for him to succeed, then did they just think they were not going to be a good baseball team this year? Because I don't think that
they said they were urgently trying to win. How do you do that without a good team? They also seem to think their offense would be better, which implies that you're going to bring up guys or add guys who are going to help your team right away. Right? Am I missing something? They thought their offense would be good.
That's not how his answer came across. But that sounds like what we
before the season they thought. Did they not?
Who's they? I mean, I think on the outside, the broadcasters and the people around the team and the media did. I'm saying based on that answer, maybe behind closed doors, they didn't think their offense was going to be that good.
Did they then expect their starting pitching to be this good?
No, I just think maybe.
Then where was the urgency? If they didn't expect their starting pitching to be good internally, and maybe they didn't have the same internal optimism about the offense that on the outside had, what did they expect?
Well, hold on a second. Give me a move that suggests that there was any urgency.
I go back to that because they said it and they never seemed to be a team that was embodying it.
Yes.
That is my point in bringing it up.
Yeah.
The owner said there was an urgency to win. The general manager echoed that sentiment. And at no point in time in their offseason, and certainly so far now, at no point in time has there been a sign or a signifier that there actually is urgency.
But that answer about young hitters makes it think that this is not a microwave season, it's more of a crockpot season.
Yeah, we're going to
let these guys slow cook.
Let them marinate.
Because young hitters need time. It's really hard for them
right now.
But
their young hitters are even worse than everyone else's.
Well, and I even reject that. I would say back to Ben, I doubt they'd let me do the interview with him on Sundays. That would be interesting. I would say back, well, what is your rebuttal for Arizona? Because their whole lineup was mostly guys who were in their mid to early 20s last year.
He'd say last year's
Corbin
different than
Carroll,
this year.
Well, okay, it's changed that much?
I'm just telling you what I think he might say in that situation. And then he could maybe point to their team this year where I think most of those guys
They got the same record as the Pirates.
And most of those guys have been either the same or regressed a little bit.
Speaking of patience, here is Ben talking about having to wait out a trade.
We're at a period where it makes sense for us to consider turning certain players, maybe prospect younger players, into players that can help our major league team, you know, improve in the short term. Absolutely going to make sense. We're on the phone every day, teams. We're also at a point, still at a point in the season, that whole supply-demand thing is there, and there's just not a lot of teams selling yet. So we just got to stay on it, trust ourselves, trust our process that between now and the end of July, we'll lock in on some of those opportunities to, you know, that have a chance to help our team.
So everybody wants to rip them off right now. It's an overpay situation. There are more the supply-demand point is right. There are more teams that are in contention than out of it. Baseball did that on purpose when they expanded their playoffs. It does make it more tricky because those selling teams now hold cards.
But I don't think it's also going to change so much until between now and the trade deadline to make the everyone's trying to rip us off part any different. How many teams are realistically going to be out of it by then? Maybe two or three more than are currently out of it?
Depends. I mean, if the Cardinals and Padres start to run away from teams, you know, maybe the Cubs and the Reds and
the Cardinals are not
Giants
that good of a baseball
and teams
team.
Like that.
The Cardinals aren't that good.
Yeah, we've said that outside of last year. There have been plenty of years where we said that, oh, this team, they're made up of guys we've never heard of before. They'll probably finish with a 500 record,
overall,
and then they go and win a World Series.
My overall point
the Cardinals.
Is, it is highly unlikely to me, as good as the Cardinals have looked since basically mid-May when they just suddenly caught fire, that too many teams are really going to suddenly become out of the race. There are right now, realistically, five teams that I think are sellers in all of Major League Baseball. I'm sorry, not five. There's about seven. Texas, Detroit, Toronto, the Angels, the Rockies, and
the Marlins.
And the Marlins. So that's what, six that I just named?
Two in the NL, and I think you named five. Four or five?
Four. Okay. The Rays are four games out. They're not out of it. I think that if Ben Cherington's main contention is, we can't do this right now, we're going to get ripped off, you're going to be mad at how much it costs to get what we get back, then I don't think there's going to be a time where they're not getting quote-unquote.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.